Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message I'm sharing with you today is part two of our series, Growing. Jesus gives us spiritual life so that we can grow and mature spiritually. In this message, I want to challenge you to grow spiritually and become more like Jesus. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
If you missed last week's message, we started a new series, and it's called Growing. How many know that God wants us to grow spiritually? Amen? He wants us to grow spiritually. And one of the reasons why, and I think it's a major reason why he wants us to grow, and I think sometimes we think about growth that it's all about us, and it's not. Really, growth has everything to do with everyone else. God wants to grow us spiritually, mature us, so that we can then extend God's kingdom through our lives, reach other people, amen? So just remember, growth, yeah, it's about you, but it's really not about you. Because God's got a greater plan. Because there is someone in your life, there is someone that you work with, someone who's in your family, someone, it might just be the person, the same gas station you go to, and you see the same cashier. God may be calling you to reach that person and to minister to them. So spiritual growth has all to do with, yeah, you're growing spiritually, personally, but it also has a bigger picture of how that impacts our community. So just remember that as we go through this series. And last week we talked about new birth. Because really, without new birth, there is no new life. Because all of us are dead in our sins. Each and every, we were dead inside, all right? We may have life in this mortal body, but before we come to Christ, we are dead to God. We are dead spiritually. But how many of you know this? When Jesus comes into your life and you receive the Holy Spirit, there's life. There is life. We receive life. The Bible talks about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if it dwells in you and I, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Listen, if you're born again, Holy Spirit lives in you, you've got life. You have life. You have been brought over from death to life. So Jesus comes, he gives us the Holy Spirit. We have life that enters in us, and we receive that life, and here it goes, for spiritual life. We receive life to grow spiritually. Remember this, we are not human beings that have temporary spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings having a temporary earth experience. How many of you know that eternity is a very long time? You live to be 80 or 100 years old. That's a very short time compared to eternity. So we are not temporal beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings that have a temporal earth experience. If the Spirit of God who came into Jesus, raised him from the grave, if he lives in you, then you have life. And that life is to produce spiritual life. Now, let me say this. Sometimes I think we get this confused when it comes to spiritual life. We think about this. The Holy Spirit comes inside to renovate us. That's wrong. Do you hear me? It's wrong. He doesn't come in to renovate you. That's not even what the Bible says. He comes in to make us new. He transforms our lives. When you receive the Holy Spirit at new birth, when you receive Jesus as Lord, he makes you a new person. Well, why do you say that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not a renovated one, a new creation. But a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the Holy Spirit transforms us into a new creation. So a new creation can walk then in newness of life. I'm going to give you several scriptures here really quick. But Romans 6:4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, into his death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Look at this. Here it goes. Here's the reason for life. This is the reason why we receive life. It's not just to give us eternal life, but there's a picture here. There's something that takes place here on this earth. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Walk in it, live in it, operate in it, breathe in it. So when we're born again, we're brought over from death to life. We're transformed into a new creation, and we're given newness of life so that we can walk in that newness as a new creation, and that is evidenced by this, spiritual fruit. That's what we talked about last week, spiritual fruit. So what is the evidence that I've received newness of life, and I'm walking in it, I'm functioning in it? It's this, spiritual fruit. It's evidence. People see the fruit of God's Spirit within us. Matthew 12:33, make a tree good and its fruit will be what? It will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. A tree is recognized by its fruit. So again, we can tell that God is working in us, not by what we say or what we go into church. That's all good. Well, I want you all to go to church. But that's not the evidence. Anybody can go to church. So the evidence is this, that you see spiritual fruit in and through that person's life. Tree is good. It's good to grow. It's good to produce spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit, again, is the evidence that you're yielding. You're saying, I'm not going to give in to my carnal desires. I'm going to give in to what the Holy Spirit says. I'm going to give in to what God's Word says. I'm going to yield myself to the power of God. And boy, right now I want to be irritated. I want to be frustrated. I want to be mean. I want to be ugly. I want to say something. I want to do something. But that would be contrary to the way Christ would react to the situation. So I'm going to temper it down. I'm going to put it down. I'm going to allow God to give me the patience, the power, the ability, whatever it is. I'm going to yield. Sometimes we just need to pause, right? Just pause. I've used this illustration before. It's like on social media, and you see something, and you go on a little rant. We get frustrated with something, and before we hit send, there's that something in your spirit that says, again, do you really want to send that? Do you really want to post that? Do you really want to communicate that? How is that going to be received? And if you say this, well, I don't really care, you are in the right place today, because you need to grow up. Because that's what this is all about today. It's about growing up. It's about being spiritually mature. Remember, we're not babes, right? Are you growing, and are you demonstrating this newness of life? Because it's extremely important that we produce spiritual fruit and that others see that, and it's demonstrated. All right, so no matter how old you become, it doesn't matter how long you've served God, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, you can get to a place where you decline, or you can get to a place where you plateau spiritually. Can I say that's not a good place to be? This is not a good place to be, and nor is this. Our walk with God should be like this. If you haven't been transformed by the Holy Spirit and become a new creation, then today take care of that, because that's step one, and that's what we talked about last week. But beyond that, when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, you have the ability then to live for Jesus. You have the ability to put to death the carnal nature, and you have the ability then to live for Christ. And again, the evidence of that is spiritual fruit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, look at this, are being transformed. When I see those words, are being transformed, it just speaks process to me. That when you come to Christ, yes, you're transformed, yes, you're a new creation, but yes, you have flesh to deal with, correct? And there is a process that takes place. More of him, less of me. We have more of the flesh that we have to deal with, but thank God through Jesus we can put it to death and we can live according to God. So that's what we're talking about as a process. We're transformed, yes, but we're also being transformed. There's a process taking place. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Again, glory to glory is another just a key for process. We're in a process. How many of you know this, that you're going to fail at times? You're going to mess up. Don't give up on the process. God is patient with you, amen? God has a plan for you. You can fall and you can stumble, but you need to get back up and go back towards God, because you're in a process. That process stops when you say, I just can't do it. But you can. You can. You can do anything through Christ. I'm telling you. Transform into the same image from glory to glory. And again, it's not all us. Yes, we have free will. Yes, we must choose. Yes, we must yield. But look, we are being transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. We can't change ourselves. Because if that's true, then we don't need the Holy Spirit. So we're transformed, we're being transformed, and the evidence of that is spiritual fruit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is kind of going to be where we are today. I'm going to use a different translation because I just think it communicates it a whole lot easier. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Look at this, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. And Paul's talking to the Ephesian Christians about the importance of being mature, right? No longer like children. So he's talking about the importance of being spiritually mature so that you don't fall prey to false doctrines in this circumstance. And the circumstance is irrelevant. The truth is this: God wants us to be mature so we don't fall for silly things, all right? So how many of you ever had a family member that when you were younger, they would pull quarters from behind your ears? Anybody ever have that? They don't even have to be good. They don't have to be good at the sleight of hand thing. All they have to do is take advantage of your naive nature as a child, correct? And they just have to be quick. What's that behind your ear? And whoop, oh, a quarter. And what happens today is someone tries to pull a quarter from behind your ear. You're like, I know the bit, buddy. Why? Because you're mature, right? You know the trick. You know how it works. Now listen, if they start pulling $100 bills, we're going to have a different conversation, amen? I'm going to say keep on pulling. All right, so I'm just saying that children, we have a very naive nature. As children, we do it. So spiritually, God does not want us to be naive. He doesn't want us to be children. He doesn't want to be infants. He wants us to be mature. Let's go on down to verses 15 and 16. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Look, growing. That's our thing. Growing in every way, more and more like Christ, more and more like Jesus. Growing. That's the purpose of maturity. We grow to be more and more like Jesus, who is the head of his body, the church. So when we grow and we become more like Jesus, the church grows. The church automatically grows. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own work. Every one of us were called to do something for God's glory. It all fits together in God's kingdom. It helps the other parts grow. Listen, as you grow, it helps someone else grow. All right, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And that just works together nice, doesn't it? But I can't say it any better and any plainer than that. The reason why we're to grow spiritually, it affects one another. Here's the problem, is when people come to church and they really have no community mindset. You know what I'm saying? They don't have any mindset towards one another. Come to church, check in and check out. And that could have value, but can I tell you this? It has very little value. The greater value is this: when you come together, you serve together, you whatever in whatever capacity together, it has a more powerful effect. You know, we are very stingy by nature. Human beings are very stingy by nature. See, what we're supposed to do is remember, we're supposed to come into this, not it's not about me, it's about God. It's not even about me, it's about you, and vice versa. That's the mindset we should take. So if you're growing spiritually, it positively affects the mission, the vision, the values of this church. So if you're growing in your relationship with God, it automatically has a positive effect upon our church. So as spiritual growth occurs in our life, our church will grow. It's just a natural outflow of growth. So it's important for a church to stay culturally relevant. Are you following me? It's very important for a church to stay relevant with the times. But as you can get relevant, and there's nothing wrong with that, I think we should. But there's some hindrances to that if that's all we're banking on. If all we're banking on is changing programs to fit with the times, changing exteriors, carpeting, whatever, if we're relying on that alone, we're going to miss it. All right, so it's important for us to do things with excellence that's relevant, but the best outcome we're going to have to grow our church is right here. It's you and I. It's you and I. God's going to expand his kingdom through us. So if you're growing personally, then our church will grow. That's going to be the outcome. So what keeps us from growing? What keeps a church from growing? And it's immaturity. It's immaturity. Here are some signs of spiritual immaturity. So spiritually immature Christians are gullible to strange doctrines. But I've seen this just recently. Let's go back to Ephesians 4:14. I'm going to read it from a different version. Paul was telling the Ephesians, God gives the church gifts called pastors, teachers, evangelists, you name it, prophets, for the building up of the church. All right, to train, to teach, to release the church. And that's what falls ahead of this verse, and then he goes on and explains this. But again, we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness and deceitfulness in deceitful schemes. So again, when you're young and you're immature, you can fall for a lot of things. And you know what? Sometimes when you're young, you can fall for strange doctrines. You can fall for strange teachings. I think immaturity is this, that you continue to stay in those strange doctrines and teachings, that you don't have the ability to listen to someone else. You ever had a teenager? All right, and some of you, it starts earlier. All right, they think they know everything. They don't have ears, right? It's like something's blocked there. They don't hear. They think they know everything. But you know what? We can get like that spiritually. Well, I read the Bible. I know everything in it. No, you don't. Because listen, I know, this is what I've learned. The more I read the Bible, the more I come to understand what I don't know. All right? So I'm just saying this. When people take that attitude and they present that, it just shows their immaturity. So remember this. Just, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point. Christianity is over 2,000 years old. And if you think you have a new revelation, if you think you got a new doctrine or a new understanding, you're wrong. You're late to dinner. Someone's already been there in 2,000 years, guarantee you, okay? So what I would always recommend this, if you think you've cracked the code on something, all right, and you've got a special understanding, take a wise saint of God who loves the Word of God, who you know is seasoned, and ask them questions, and don't argue, listen. And you know what? If you'll listen, they'll counsel you wisely and correctly. Amen? So an immature person will not do that. Everyone else is wrong. You've all missed it. For 2,000 years, we've been missing it. And I'm just saying, a mature person will listen. A maturing person will listen to wise counsel. All right, number two. Spiritually immature Christians aren't able to play nice with other children, with other people. All right, having children, you know this. That you've learned that when your child plays with other children, there are words and phrases that often come up. Like this, don't take that, it doesn't belong to you. Don't bite, share. It's not your turn, it's her turn. Is it any of this sounding true to some of you? See, children need to learn how to play nice together. We'll say it now spiritually. Children need to learn how to play together nicely. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. But I, brothers, not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Paul's writing this to a church. He's writing this to adults in the church at Corinth. Can't talk to you as spiritual people. I got to talk to you like babies. Oof. Man, that's encouraging, isn't it? I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? If you'll remember this, that the Corinthians were bickering and fighting, and some of this had to do with just who they preferred, their personal preferences. Some like Paul, some like Apollo, some like Peter. And what happened was this, they became divided over personal preferences. Stupid, silly things. Boy, it's amazing how when you have a church that is divided over stupid, silly things, it's very immature. So some Christians, when they're hard to be around others, and someone needs to hear this today, I'm telling you, you might be hard to be around. And it might be because you're carelessly blunt. Now, there's a difference between being blunt and being carelessly blunt. Cynical, mean, cantankerous, just negative. And when you're around those type of people, they're not fun to play with. Man, they're a joy kill. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around people that are mean and cynical. They're no fun. So maybe, and this, unfortunately, this is the problem. When you're immature, you think, they're the problem. Someone else has got the problem. It's not me. Because that's what happens with children, right? You try to explain to them why they're wrong and they can't see it. They only understand that they're right. They only understand it from their point of being. And again, that's just a sign of immaturity. So unfortunately, people think that other people have the problem. And boy, in church, that's where the pastor, it's his job, and it's messy sometimes. And here's what happens. You're going to tick somebody off. Somebody's going to take their ball and go home. The game's going to be over. And it's frustrating. But you know you got to do it, because what's going to happen is all the other children are going to get involved. That's where we have to be grown-ups when we come to church, amen? Boy, this is just part of a series. I'm not speaking at or preaching at any situation. Thank God I feel like we've got past a lot of that. So I'm just saying that be on our guard, amen? Be on our guard. So someone needs to hear this. I'm telling you, someone needs to hear this. And the Holy Spirit can help us, amen? He can help us to grow up. And some people, you can be saved for decades. You can quote Scripture. Chapter, verse, that's great. But if you can't play well with others, then you have an immaturity problem. See, because this is the maturity is not measured by how much of the Bible you know and quote. It's how much you can live. Because that's fruit. Because listen, any historian, any college professor can quote and teach, but can I tell you this? A saint of God must be able to live that word. Are you following me? So here's what I would say. If that's you, then whatever hurts you and whatever has hindered you, you need to heal. Because that's often the source of immaturity. You get hurt somewhere, and you just get stuck there. It's like people who do drugs, people who have substance issues. They get stuck in that. They get stuck in a time warp. They start doing drugs at 15. They're like 15 for the rest of their life until they grow up. It's the same thing with spiritually immature people. You get hurt, you get stuck, and you're acting like a 15-year-old in church. So, listen, God can bring you past all that, amen? Man, don't be satisfied with immaturity. Number three, spiritually immature Christians are controlled by their fleshly impulses. Paul ties this to being an infant in Christ, to being carnal. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. So what is carnal behavior? There's a list in God's word. It's not exhaustive. It just gives you an idea. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, the works of the flesh are these: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. It goes on. This is just an example, just a snippet. He can go on and on and on with this. So when we're like a small child who doesn't get our way, what happens is this. We get into a fit, and spiritually we yield ourselves to our carnal impulses rather than what's right, what's smart. Are you following me? Have you ever seen a child just get into a tantrum, throw a fit? There's no speaking any reason to them. All right, so this is how we become spiritually sometimes. We got to exercise self-control. Okay, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. I think it's one of the most overlooked parts of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. So all born-again Christians, listen to this. So I'm not trying to cast stones here, just follow me. We're all going to deal with the flesh. If you've conquered the flesh, please let me know how you're doing that, okay? So I don't want you to make you feel like I'm here and you're there, because that's not true. Because there's some of you that live a whole lot better life than I do. But I'm just saying this, that there are times we can get into our little hissy fits, we throw a fit, and we get just stuck there. You got to be careful, because it'll stunt your growth. It'll keep you in a bad place for a long time. So what happens when people who are spiritually immature, spiritually stalled, okay, or they're declining? What happens when they attend church? Go to Corinthians and read that about that church, and you'll see what happens to a church when they decline or get stalled spiritually, or they're very immature. You'll see example after example of what happens. So they're selfish, they're divisive, they're resistant to change, they're religious, and sometimes they're just plain mean. Just mean. You know, have you ever heard people say this? What church you go to? I go to church. Well, there's mean. That church is mean. Well, why do they say that? Because there's mean people there. That's why. Oh my. You say, well, we're not. I'm not saying it's us, but that church will say, well, we're not mean. They're too immature. They can't even see their own meanness. So the church of Corinth, I'm sure they didn't say we're divisive. We're full of factions. We all want our little way. I'm sure that if you said, what kind of church, what's your church like in Corinth? They'd say, oh, we're a great church. We love each other. They were mean. They were divisive. They were selfish and just ugly sometimes, just plain ugly. So a church is known by its fruit. Just as we as believers are known by our fruit, a church is known by its fruit. Can I tell you this? If a church has had a bad reputation of having bad fruit, it takes a long time to outlive that reputation. But what needs to take place is consistency. That you can't worry about what people will say. You just got to consistently live for God and complete His mission. Amen? All right, as a church, are we more mature, spiritually mature, than we are carnal? Are we a maturing church? Are we an immature church? Are we a growing? Are we a plateauing? Are we a declining church? And I don't mean necessarily in numbers. I'm just saying spiritually. Because if you're spiritually healthy, remember, If the healthiest churches are the biggest churches, are you following me? That's not always true. So, but I am saying this, if a church is healthy, it will be growing. What I want you to do today, as I'm preaching, as we come to the time of the altar, ask the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to question you, you know, collectively, individually, because we're part of this. It's not like there's the church and I go to the church. No, if you go to the church, you're part of the church. You're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So your fruit adds up together, amen? We make a whole bushel here. So Psalms 26:2, test me, Lord, and try me, examine my heart and my mind. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Everyone, just allow the Holy Spirit to examine you today. Okay, I'm asking everyone just to do that. Just allow the Lord to speak to you, give you an honest assessment. So this is what I want you to do. It's just now, I'm going to give you four things, then we're going to close. If we're growing, if we're going to be a growing church, if we're going to keep away from spiritual immaturity, what can we do to promote growth? If we're going to avoid immaturity and we're going to grow, what can we do to promote growth? And number one is this, possess the desire to grow. You say, well, that just sounds so easy. Listen, when you're a child, what do you want to do? You want to grow up. You want to grow up, you want to be able to drive your car, you want to be able to make money, you want to be able to do this, you want independence. You want responsibility. All right? So I remember this. My son was young, and he did something. Jenny was asking him, why is he doing that? He goes, I just want to be a dad. And we laughed about it because, you know, that often happens that children, they want to be like their mom, their dad, a teacher, a favorite athlete, someone they admire. They want to grow. And the ones that stay immature are the ones who don't want to grow. Right? They don't want to leave home. They want to stay on the couch. They want to watch videos all day. Whatever. Boy, that's bad when they become 30 years old, right? Immature children are easy to spot. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up. They're selfish. All roads lead back to them. If a church is full of babies, if a church is full of infants, what does that look like? Oh my goodness, it could be a mess. But the question is this, do you have the desire to grow? And if you have the desire to grow, you will grow. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You got to have the desire. And again, some people don't have the desire to grow because they don't want the responsibility, they don't want the accountability, and that will keep you from maturing. You know, anytime we don't want responsibility or accountability, you have a place where you really are probably remaining very immature. Okay, a baby is one of the most selfish, they are the most selfish creature on planet Earth. Change my diaper, but I want to sleep. I don't care. Change my diaper. I'm wet. You know, they let you know if they're hungry, right? They let you know. They don't care if you've not without sleep. They don't care what your day has been like. They just want to be dry. They want to be fed. So they are the most selfish creatures on this earth. What happens when that happens in church? It's a mess. They don't understand they're being selfish either because they're immature. So they don't know that if they're independent, again, we know they don't have the ability, but when they get to maturity, they have the ability to go and use the bathroom. They have the independence. They have the freedom. They have all these things they can do, but they don't realize it because they don't have the ability within them. Same thing spiritually. What an immature person needs most is maturity. All right, do you have the desire to grow spiritually? And I hope that you do. A true way to answer will be measured in our actions, not in our words. So here, I'll give you an example. I want to grow, but I'm too tired to go to church today. All right, I want to grow, but I ran out of time and I can't read my Bible. Okay, I want to grow, but I don't know how to pray, so I'm not going to pray. Well, we can just go on and on and on, right? See, it's a matter of this. It's a matter of if you want to grow, you'll grow. If you don't, you won't. It's as simple as that. And really, you just have to come to that conclusion, because if you make up every excuse, you're just going to, and then it's, okay, then start today. What's the excuse for today? What's the excuse for tomorrow? What will be the excuse for the next day? If something's always coming up, you live in sheer calamity. I'm just saying this. It can't be that bad. So it's just a matter of priority. If you want to grow, you will grow. All right? Losing your desire to grow is not uncommon. every person in here, you're going to face, if you've not already faced it, and you'll probably face it multiple times the longer that you serve Jesus, you're going to fall into seasons and times where you don't want to grow. You just don't want to grow because life, because of situation. But you can't stay in that funk. You can't stay in that place. You've got to get out of it. You got to get your desire back. You got to get yourself some perspective and say, all right, this is not a good place to be. I can't stay here because I can't grow here. So you have to address that desire. It's like this. A person who, and I'm going to allude to this later, a person who sits on the couch, and I've done this, I'm a professional, and I know I need to exercise more. And then I finally get the desire to get up and do it, and I start exercising, and I start feeling better. It's amazing how that works. So what do? After a while, you're like, why didn't I get off the couch sooner? You know why? Because I didn't have the desire to do it. The desire to sit on the couch was stronger. Now, why can't we be that honest in church? Why can't we be that honest about our spiritual situation? We are where we are because that's where we put ourselves. Well, I don't want the responsibility of owning that, but you got to if you're going to grow and mature. All right, let's keep on going. Number two. What will help us to grow? What will keep us from spiritual immaturity? It's nourishment. In the natural, a child, they won't grow unless they're nourished. They got to have a good diet, a healthy diet, and that'll help them to grow. How do you remember Schoolhouse Rock on Saturday mornings? Do you remember the one? Do you remember, you are what you eat from your head down to your feet? You remember that one? Spiritually, it's the same. Look at Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there's our true nourishment. You know, daily Bible reading cannot be dismissed. See, some people say, oh, that's religious, that's legalistic. You don't have to read the Bible to go to heaven and all this. I'm just telling you this, why don't you possess the desire to do that? That's the real question. It's not a matter of have to. It's a matter of why don't you want to. So, but when you do it and you consistently feed your spirit, you're going to get stronger. We eat 3 times a day. You say, well, no, I eat once a day, all day long, right? Anybody else like that? So I'm just saying, why not start your day off like breakfast? Read a proverb. On lunch, why don't you take out your Bible, your phone, whatever you need to do, and read a psalm. Go home in the evening and read. You don't have to sit down and just read the Bible all day long. But at points and places, set up some disciplines where you can eat spiritually, where you can nourish your body. If you'll nourish your body, you'll have growth. I do this. If whatever verse I'm usually dealing with in my series, I still have the last one stuck in my truck because I still like it. Put it on an index card so I can look at it when I'm driving. And just if I'm at a stoplight, I can look at that verse and I can read it. You know, why not? It's just something as simple as that. Meditate on the word. Allow it to nourish your soul. Allow it to come and speak it to your spirit. A daily devotion, so important. Again, read the Bible. Read it through systematically. Listen to the word. It's wonderful the blessings we have today, right, with our devices. If you don't like to read, you can download the Bible app, you can push play, and you can listen to it. Feed your spirit, amen? Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So take time, be disciplined about reading the word, studying the word, meditating on the word. So in comparison, what are you dining on? What are you eating? What do you consume on a daily basis? How much time do you use on that little device? You know what's amazing is now my device and my computer are synced together. And I'll be on my computer, it says, you've increased, you've decreased your amount of time, right? And some of it may be valid, but you know what's nice is if you click on that, you can break down how much time you've been on social media, how much you've been on this app, how much you've been on that app. So I'm just saying, look at your device. How much time do you spend with that device? How much time do you spend watching TV? How much time did you spend with a hobby? And it doesn't have to be a bad hobby, good, immoral, it doesn't matter. How much time did you put into that hobby? How much time did you spend nourishing your body, nourishing your mind, or nourishing your spirit? What are you feeding? What are you feeding will gain strength, it'll be healthy. Number three, exercise. If we want to stay mature, or we want to grow mature, exercise is so important. Activity. And it's essential to physical development. Think about athletes. I mean, an athlete is not going to win an Olympic event by watching it all the time. You got to practice. You got to train. a spiritual couch potato. That's not our goal. Spiritually, we have to be active, amen? Exercise. All right, 1 Timothy 4:7, don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be godly. Train yourselves to be godly. Training ourselves to be godly, spiritual exercise of our faith. Remember, our faith is not all up here. Faith is by, it's not, James talks about this. Faith without action is what? It's dead. Faith without action is dead. So how are we putting our faith into practice? Where are we exercising our faith? Where in the body of Christ are you serving? Where in the body of Christ are you plugged in at? Where are you putting your faith into action as a believer? It doesn't matter if you're here spiritually or here spiritually. Every one of us has a place where we can put our faith into action. Friend, listen, there are some people say this, Pastor, it's everything I can do just to get through the day. Then you're surviving, you're not thriving. It's the honesty. We're not thriving, we're just surviving. God did not put his spirit in you to survive. He put his spirit in you to thrive, amen? He put his spirit into you so that you can be successful. And listen, I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about success spiritually. Because it goes beyond ourselves. There's people that are out there, they see your daily life, they see your witness. They listen to what you say, they watch how you live. They watch how you go through life. So whenever a person kind of gets off that couch again, and they're like, you know what, I need to exercise. Well, they start doing it, and they realize how good they feel. Today, I just want to give you a little nudge. All right, just a little nudge. It's time to grow. And even if you're here, all right, and you once were here, this is where, as your pastor, this is where I want you, up here, okay? And continuing on. Because if that's happening in your life, you're going to reach people. And you're going to continue to reach people. You're going to continue to minister to people. Number four, patience. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to be more mature spiritually, patience. That's the word that I can already tell. Some of you just already smiling at me. By definition, growth requires time, right? And children, they don't become fully grown overnight. There are sometimes you want to say, that little three-year-old, I can't wait till they're 21. When they become 21 or 20 or whatever, you're like, man, I wish they were three again. So don't grow them up too quickly because it does take time. Growth, when you're growing, you have to be patient. You have to be, God's patient with you. You have to be patient with yourself. And listen, as believers, we have to be patient with one another. James 1:4. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And when you're dealing with patience, for patience to grow spiritually, you have to have endurance. How many of you know God, his love for us is long-suffering. It's long. There's something that has to do with endurance. Endurance, it's the backbone of patience. It is the backbone of commitment leads to spiritual growth. It leads us to spiritual maturity. And we have to be patient like we are with our children, amen? We have to be patient with them because they're going to make mistakes. The first time your child does something wrong, major wrong, you have to be very careful how you handle that situation. Because you can murder them, which might make you feel better in the short term, but in the long term, you might have caused a lot of damage. You might have shut a lot of doors. So you have to be careful. So you have to be patient with your kids. The older they get, the bigger their mistakes can be. But you have to be patient. So on the job, some people, this is how it manifests sometimes in our adult lives. I'm going to give you an example. Some of you aren't going to like it, all right? But sometimes you can be on the job, you can be working, and you have a supervisor whose job is to supervise you. They say something to correct you, and you don't like it. Listen, I'm just saying, you got to grow up then. And it's just like this. If I'm preaching a message, and you feel like I'm in your ear, and I'm preaching to you, trust me, I did not prepare all week to speak into your ear. Because sometimes I'll be preaching, I know you're like, and I've even heard this where you were preaching right at me. Well, I don't spend my time getting ready to preach at you. So God loves you so much, he's got some loudmouth preacher prepared to speak to you because he loves you, because he wants you to grow and mature in an area of your life. God is using the message to correct and challenge you because he loves you and he wants you to grow. And I want you to hear me. David committed adultery, right? And essentially committed murder. But God still used him in a powerful way. He acted very immaturely, but God still used him in a powerful way. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Acted very selfishly. Saved his own skin, really. But look how God used him. Paul persecuted Christians for his conversion. Look how God uses him, or used him. All the apostles forsook Jesus after he was arrested. Think about how God used them. All these people are remembered as some of God's greatest servants. And why was that? Because God was patient with them. Even through their mistakes, God was patient with them.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.